This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London Weekend Review podcast, and this is brought to you by Anything Is Possible, a set of Bees fans, possibly the best creative agency on the South Coast, they say anyway, and they say that, well, they say anything's possible. Anything wasn't quite possible at the weekend though, because we didn't quite get 3 points. And we're coming to you after a very long weekend, a little bit later than it normally should be, because literally I have stepped off the train from Newcastle. It's Monday evening. Just stepped off the train from a very good weekend in Newcastle, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And it was a very good weekend in many ways. Wasn't 100% brilliant weekend because we didn't quite get the 3 points, but we did see a lot of goals and had a lot of fun and saw a lot of action. My name's Billy Grant and I'm sitting here in the virtual joint in the Chums. I've got Lainey and I've got Ali Mullally in the house, and this is the Weekend Review podcast where we talk about the game at the weekend. We talk about it in bite-sized pieces. We take out a lot of different points, talk about them, we discuss them, and then if there's anything else we want to pull out a little bit further, we talk about it later in the week on the Thursday podcast. So listen, Lainey, how are you?
I'm exhausted, Bill. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it was a really, really early start on Saturday morning and a late night on Saturday night and another early start to come back yesterday. So I got back and I'm just knackered. There must be loads of knackered Brentford fans around at the moment. So actually, if you went up there, pat yourselves on the back. I thought the support was brilliant. So yeah, exhausted and expensive and brilliant. So yeah, football away days,
the
I
best.
Missed them. That was great. It was a cracker.
That was a proper, proper away day. Ali, how are you?
I'm pretty exhausted as well, actually, because I had to do the trip for various reasons there and back in one day, having been out on the last, because of my husband's 50th birthday on the Friday night, so I was hungover before I even got on the train, and then I had to come back because I had to be here for first thing Sunday morning, so I had to come back on the Saturday night on the train. So it was a lot of travelling in one day, and I still haven't quite got over it either. So I wear ladies out, but not for quite the same reasons, but it was worth it.
Yeah, for me, I went up on the Friday night as well. I'll talk about that a little bit later, maybe in a little stinker, but I actually came back this evening, so I'm actually feeling very relaxed, actually, because I had a great weekend up in Toon. I've seen lots of castles, I've seen lots of coastal, I've seen town, I've seen shops, I've seen this, I've been to the cinema, I've done everything, I've been to the brewery, so it's been all good. But listen, we'll talk about all that later. We've got to come back and talk about the match. So listen, the main takeaways from that match, Lainey, tell me your main takeaways.
Main takeaway was really, it was great to see us scoring goals again. We've struggled to hit the back of the net, and it's cost us, you know. And it was good to see us creating good chances and it being rewarded with goals. I think it was a game we could have won, a game we could have lost. I think it was. We'll talk about the fairness of it in a little bit as well. Yeah. So my main takeaway was, although I still think we should have won, it was great to just get points back on the table again. So yeah, it looks like we kickstarted again.
Yeah, and just talking about the goals, I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, we've talked about this before, is about us putting the ball in the back of the net, which is the fear that I've had for weeks, you know, creating chances and not putting them in the back of the net. But we almost did the opposite this time, where, you know, if you believe in the XG, 1.19 was our XG, but we actually scored 3 goals. So we were very clinical in this match. Could have scored a fourth one if the goal wasn't disallowed. Actually, it was the Ivan Toney goal, was it? Which is down that end, which is disallowed, which is a bit disappointing. So very, very clinical, which is a good sign. 3 goals away from home as well. Ali, your main takeaways?
Well, my main takeaway is we were great going forward, but we seem to have forgotten how to defend. I think our defending at times is well, you could only really call it shambolic at times. It was, we've gone from being pretty solid to not really being able to defend anything much. And partly, a large part of it, of course, is due to all the injuries. But it was quite alarming. I think you felt every time they Sam Maximum had the ball or whatever, they came forward, that you felt there was a good chance that we were going to concede. And it's something's not clicking. And the defence just seems to be sitting much deeper than they were before. And I do find it worrying with, you know, the teams of the likes of Manchester City coming up fairly soon. And I think we, fingers crossed, we can at least get Aya back soon, because I think he's been a big loss as well as Raya.
Yeah, again, you've got, you know, I think a lot of Bees fans that are listening will have the same or similar takeaways. I mean, talking about Aya, you know, the main takeaways, you know, the defence, you've mentioned it, is... We were in the pub before, and we said to the Newcastle fans, we said, look, our defence was the best, you know, second, third best in the division, you know, probably 6 weeks ago. And now it's probably like the third worst in the division, you know, and that is just a fact. When something we need to get around, and we're not knocking it because we know that that can turn around again. But you don't, obviously, we talked about Raya. I'm not going to talk about again what a big loss he is for not having him in the side. But also Aya, didn't realise he was the second fastest player in the Premier League, apparently. So they clocked him at, what, 36 miles an hour or something like that, doing a run, like you were saying, which is something I'm thinking, oh my God, we got a road runner in our side. But you realise that when you miss a player like that, it is bad news. Also, when you saw some of them crosses come across, like, you know, I think it's the second goal that they scored, you know, and you sort of the header being missed, and you sort of think, oh God, you know, technically that is quite a standard, you know, clearance from, you know, some of our probably more senior players. And you miss out on that, you know, the ball drops to one of their players, bang, he puts it in the back of the net. You know, you try and blame the goalkeeper at the end of the day. You know, what's the goalkeeper going to do with that? So I think my main takeaways from that is, yes, going on about it before, we are depleted. We are a side who are, it's almost like there is a fine margin thing, because the defence probably isn't as strong as it could be. But it's one of those things, I believe, it's almost like could be changed in a minute. You get one or two players come back in and we will be a completely different side. So in a strange way, I'm kind of still confident. And I think obviously the coaching staff know that. And it's almost like they've got their finger in the dam at the moment, trying to get us through this tricky period. Because they know when the players come back, it'll be a positive. Like, you know, anyone else thoughts on that, or, you know, any other takeaways you've got from the game?
I think we can... I think Rose left to be, and it's not, this is not his fault, it's not a centre half. You know, I think he was horribly exposed trying to play in a back three out of position. And we just have to cross our fingers that Zanka is back next week, I think, because that just did it. But, well, for me, maybe other people saw it differently, but that just did it quite work. There was headers that he basically wasn't tall enough to get to. Yeah, he's just not a centre half.
Yeah. And then again, that's the other thing, you know. Not making excuses, but, you know, we've seen our centre-halves dropping like flies. And I think there was a moment as well when Pontus went down as well. And we thought, oh no, Pontus is going to go off as well. But luckily he came back again. So I think it goes to show you that how important it is, and how, you know, I mean, you know, people get nervous about Charlie Good coming on, you know, because they're not quite sure whether or not he's up to it. And there was also a thought that, you know, because Charlie Good didn't start today, but Roslev started today. I mean, what did you make of that, Lainey? Or let's say today at the weekend.
I thought Roslev looked okay when the ball was out. So he looked okay when he was in the wider positions. And I thought a couple of times with up against Sam Maximan, he was okay. I think we struggled kind of when the ball was inside the area. And we did look a bit panicky inside our own six-yard box. Or whether that's the goalkeeper not commanding, whether that's just purely a lot of misfortune. I think their second goal, it was a bit of a lucky... It was a bit of a lucky sort of ricochet, and it fell for Joe Linton. He was Joe Linton, wasn't it? He got that one. And yeah, and the header for the first goal was disappointing. We looked very shaky inside our own 6 yard area. So did they, but we were only talking about us at the moment. I thought Roslev looked okay more generally, but I think we were kind of. Just like startled rabbits in on our own line, to be honest.
I've got to ask a question as well, just quickly. I'm going to move on in a second. But do you think, because this is the one thing I thought, we let in a goal this time, you know, against Burnley, it was what, within 3 minutes, then against Norwich, it was within 6 minutes, but we did quite well because it was like 10 minutes in this game. But we just seem to be really slow
out of the traps again. We really seem to be slow and kind of, you know, and ponderous and kind of make a decision. We sort of wake up a lot later on in the game. Do you think that?
I mean, you're right. The sequence in the last few games has shown that. You're right. Yeah, we do. I don't know. I'm not sure why. We set up to attack. We just give the initiative to the opposition for some strange reason. I don't know what it is.
Didn't we go through a few games like that, a period of a few games like that last season? Or did I imagine? I'm sure we did that last season. We went through a few games and we kept conceding the first goal.
Possibly again. I've got it in a can, and it's Wembley and the Bournemouth game as far as I'm concerned is last season. Everything else didn't exist as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, you're talking about opposition. We're going to go over to the opposition. We got Mark Corby from the True Faith podcast, and he's going to talk to us about his opposition view and his opposition takeaways from that match.
Hi, it's Mark Corby from the True Faith podcast with a bit of a reflection on the game between Newcastle United and Brentford, which finished 3-3 over the weekend. I thought the atmosphere was incredible from the off. The pubs around St James's Park were very vibrant going into the game. The flags did another super job in welcoming Eddie Howe, and they set the scene perfectly from kickoff. I thought it gave the Newcastle team a boost yet again, and we seemed to take the game to Brentford, but it could have went either way over the whole 90 minutes. I thought both defences were pretty poor, but both attacks were superb. So as a neutral, it would have been a great game of football to watch, but as a Newcastle supporter, I've got to say that as a missed opportunity. I thought Brentford, travelled in numbers, made themselves heard. It's always a little bit difficult when you sit in the back of the Gallagher where I am to hear the away support, but you could certainly hear them yesterday. And as I say, I thought the Newcastle supporters were, constant in their support, and every time we went a goal behind, the support was there. I think it's put us in a good mental position moving forward, because if that's the way we've got to support the team and not just turn up and expect to pick up victories, and that's the way we've got to do. We've got to play our part in the future, and the immediate future is stopping up. The match, as I said earlier, I thought it was a great game of football end to end. I don't think any team could have been disappointed to come off, as a draw. Both teams could have won, but I think a 3-3 draw was certainly a fair result, and I would definitely mark that as one of the season's highlights. 8, possibly 9 out of 10 for entertainment. And also in regards to fairness, I think it was fair, super fair. And I think it was just a delight to watch Newcastle go out of football side for a change. And that with the likes of Tony for Brentford, we struggled. But it was a great game of football. And hopefully Newcastle can build on that, because we've got home games against Burnley and Norwich, who are in the bottom three with us, coming up, and we've got to be looking to turn into these draws into victories.
So there you go, Mark Corby from the True Faith Newcastle podcast. And I would like to say thank you to True Faith, because I know their little posse got together and they gave us a few suggestions to drink. And listen, I mean, I went to quite a few of them myself beforehand, but we went to the fourth before and after the pub, and I thought it was tremendous. We had a really great little setup there. We had loads of bees there as well, meeting all over the place, upstairs, downstairs, on the terrace. We had our little bees corner as well. Phil Giles's brother as well, Michael, he came down as well and had quite a few drinks with us before and after the game. So yeah, it was tremendous. So thank you very much, True Faith, for giving us a good place to drink before the match. But and of course they've given us a takeaway. I think the Newcastle fans are probably a little bit gutted they didn't get the 3 points, but that's the way it goes. But anyway, listen, moving on, the Brentford eye catcher, Laney.
Well, I'll be surprised if we don't all pick the same person again. I'm thank you for asking first. I'm gonna go Ivan Toney. Sorry. Were you going to say him? What a performance. He was just everything we wanted him to be, everything we hoped he would be. Scored one goal. Could have had could have had a second. I was a smidgen offside, and saved a goal off the goal line. It was as an all-rounder performance as you're going to get from Ivan. And he kissed a badge. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. We hate badge kisses when it's against us. But you know, does he get extra points for being a badge kisser?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not going to be a killjoy. Yeah.
I don't think he would have kissed the badge if we were away at Norwich. Let's just put it that way.
I'd rather he kissed his badge and did the blooming Zulu sign again. So that's fine. So Ivan Toney, here you go. And out of 10, I'd have to give him 8.5. 8.5 out of 10.
Okay, lady, and tell you something while we're at it, because people keep pulling me up on not giving the scores. Give me the score for the game, Laney, overall.
Oh, 9. I mean, 9. It was a brilliant game. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you say as a neutral, and I don't think there were many neutrals in at that game, but it was a cracker. Yeah, 3 all draws are pretty impressive. We've had 2 this year already, so yeah, we've been spoiled.
Okay, Ellie, and for the game?
For the game, 9. I'll go 9 as well. Yes, 9, it was a great game.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually going to give it 9.5 out of 10 as well, because I really enjoyed it, even though we should have got a win. But anyway, or maybe we shouldn't have got a win, actually. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Ali, just come back to your Brentford eye catcher.
Well, seeing as Laney's already nicked Toney, I'm going to go for Rico, actually, because he scored for the second game in a row. I mean, the way he arrives at such speed at the back post is fantastic. And he got his goal again. Smallest man on the pitch, scores with a header. And he just covers so much ground, especially in the absence of Aya, to track back. You know, just when you think you might not get there, Rico appears. And I thought it was great. I mean, very, very rarely disappoints. And it's great to see him, like I said, coming in at that back post and putting some goals away. So I'm going to go for Rico.
Give us a score out of 10 for Rico?
8.
8 out of 10. And for me, Ivan Toney is the man. I mean, I'm looking, if you want to do, you know, Canos, Rico is another person, I thought. And also Canos, it's a funny one with Canos, because Canos defensively, I mean, he was under pressure at times. So you sort of put the question mark there. But when he goes forward, he causes so many problems. And you sort of think, look, you know, where else can he be on the pitch? What else could he be on the pitch? Because say, for example, if he brought a right back in January, what are we going to do with Canos? Because we want to have Canos there, because he does scare the bejesus out of people. And he knows about our team. And that cross that he put in for Henry was fabulous.
Yeah,
like, you know, it was. So, you know, I want to give him props as it is. But Ivan Toney was the man. He caused them problems. He was all over the park, you know, saving that ball, putting the ball in the back of the net, should have scored another goal. You know, the Newcastle fans afterwards just say, she said, that Toney is some player. And then they made excuses for him as to why they didn't take him on, which again, you know, all about the timing thing, which we do understand. But yes, Ivan Toney, fabulous performance by him. And I'm actually going to give him 9 out of 10 for his performance. You know, it would have been lovely if he scored a second goal and we've got even more, but I think that's all good. Opposition danger person, I'm going to come to you, Ali. What are you saying?
Oh, I'm allowed to go first this time, because I suspect everybody's going to say the same. Sam Maximum, every time he got the ball, it was sort of like, oh my God. he is some player. And if anybody in that Newcastle team deserved the goal, it was probably him. I thought he was fantastic. He exploited the space very well. We sort of tried doubling up on him with Reslev and Canos, and you know, it didn't faze him at all. I thought he was fantastic. I'd love to have a player like him in our team, and we have many players like him in our team. But yeah, I thought it was great.
And what's that, Tim?
Oh, 9.
Oh, okay. Laney?
Yeah, Sam Maximin. We knew it before. You know, we know that Newcastle really only have got a couple of players of you know, of top Premiership quality, and he's certainly one of them. And we it was always going to be a case that we had our work cut out to keep him quiet. We didn't keep him quiet. We didn't keep him out either. Whether he's as good as Ivan Toney on the day, it was a great head-to-head. You know, thought they were both as dangerous as each other, if I'm honest with you. So, but Sam Maximin, and I'll give him an 8.5 out of 10 as well.
Okay. And I'm going, saying that, Max, I mean, we were talking about him lots as well as we were standing in the Alps in Newcastle, because literally it was the Alps, climbing up the steps and then more steps and even more steps, going to the back, climbing up the Alps. I actually don't mind being at the back there because you can get a really good view of the game. You can see what's going on. You can see the formations of people twisted, you know, the positionings and where they should and shouldn't be. So for me, I'm not too bad with that. But
you can see a bloody house up there as well.
Yeah, you know, you can see back to London. That's right, you know. But I'd say, actually, I thought Joe Linton had a good game. And I'm also saying this because we kind of like made fun of him a little bit when we played against him in the Cup last year, I think it was. And, you know, him, as well as half the team, they just went missing, like, you know. But I thought he had a really good game. Shelby also had a good game as well, yeah. Where, you know, he was there directing the play. You know, he was controlling the play, kind of a little bit like when he controlled the play back in, like I said, in 2017 or when it was 2018 when we played them back then, when he was the main man. And he was pinging passes across and he was controlling the midfield to a certain extent. But I'd say Joe Linton, I thought he had a really good game. And it's annoying when he scored that goal as well. And I'm going to give him an extra point for actually not scoring that goal at the end when he probably should have scored. And I think he fell over, didn't he? Like, you know, So I'm going to give Joe Linton, I'm going to give him an 8.5 out of 10. Or I might give him a 9 out of 10 for actually missing that goal at the end too, as well. So listen, I'm going to go to Laney for your stinker of the match, or stinker of the day, or stinker of the weekend.
Right. I'm going to be a little bit, I can't think of anything that's really bad apart from the architects that put people up in that corner. To expect fans to climb 140 stairs, I'm all right, that's fine. But, you know, I coped with that all right. But there's a lot of older Brentford fans that would have really struggled. I know there's a lift there, but you wouldn't want to be waiting for it. I think it's a design flaw. I think the staircases, the automatic stairs, there could have been some kind of assistance there. It is quite an excessive, extraneous kind of excess to get up there, and I just think it's crazy high. It's impressive. It's an amazing stadium, but to stick with the away fans right up there, I think it's a bit of a stinker.
I'm going to say it as well, because obviously I've got Newcastle chums and we've talked about this for years. They've actually been lobbying to try and get away fans lower down because they think it's unfair putting the away fans up there, which is something similar to what we did when we were trying to lobby for the away fans to appear in the away end. And in the end, eventually, like I said to you, they started at Norwich again and eventually they did it. And I think the Newcastle fans have been lobbying to try and get the away fans down the bottom because they said it's just unfair having them all the way up there. But I suppose with their own head at the time of their relationship with them, it probably hasn't happened. So, you know, it's maybe been, if we go there next season, fingers crossed, you know, maybe we might be a little bit lower down. But give us a stinker score out of 10, Laney.
6. I mean, it's a great view once you get there. But, you know, some sort of electric staircase would have helped the pain, I think. And not great after 5 pints as well. coming down those steps, not being funny, right, from the top, from the back, coming down the steps to come out or get to the bar or get to the toilets. Jesus, it was like life in your own hands. If you tripped then, it was unforgiving. You would have gone from the top to the bottom without any shadow of a doubt.
Okay, and Ali, your stinker?
Oh, well, I'm just going to... My stinker would be when we got to the fourth at 10 to 2 and they wouldn't let us in, despite the fact we said, Javier said to us, well, we've got a table. Tell us we've got space and you're on the table. They still wouldn't let us in.
Oh, that's the pub. I didn't even know that. So the pub was so busy that they wouldn't let you in.
They weren't letting anybody in. And we said, it's all right. We've got friends in there. They've got a space for us. They said, we're not letting anybody else in for the next hour. And that was it. So we just had to go straight to the ground, which was very sad, really.
I never realised that. All right. That's a shame, actually, because it was buzzing in there. But I don't want to make you feel worse about it. But, you know.
Yeah, thanks for that, Bill.
Yeah, that's all right. So give us a stinker for the fourth then.
It's not that bad, really. I mean, they were busy. 6.
6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And for me, I was going to give my stinker actually to Darlow, which is the Newcastle keeper, who, to be fair, he should have saved the shot from Ivan Toney. This is the first match. And also, just during the game, he wasn't great. And the Newcastle fans don't trust him at all. However, saying that, is that a stinker or is that actually quite a good thing? But I have to, just going back to it, because you were trying to pull it out from me, I tried to forget my experience going up on the train. And unfortunately, I booked it with Trainsplit, which is one of those companies which, if you... There's various rail splitting apps and companies that you can use. I've used TrainSplit twice, once for Burnley, once for here. It's gone quite horribly wrong both times. And this time it went very horribly wrong. And I've been speaking to them loads in the last week, and their customer service is horrendous. It's one of those ones where you call them up, but they can't answer anything. They tell you to email in. And if you're lucky, you might get an email back 5 days later, and all sorts of stuff going on. But anyway, by the time I got on the train, you know, with my wife and my two kids, and they cancelled my ticket, but I didn't know about it. And then the conductor says, I've cancelled your ticket, so I had to buy a whole new ticket again, which cost me hundreds of pounds on top of just on the train. And we didn't have any seats going on the way up, and you can't get hold of TrainSplit, or you can't do anything. But if it's Northwestern, then it'll be fine, or Northeastern. So after that, I was absolutely fuming. But I decided when I got to Newcastle, I was going to forget all about TrainSplit and the problems, and I'll put it all behind me. So I've forgotten about them until now, when Lainey just reminded me. But they were an absolute stinker of the weekend. And I'll say to people, they're one of those companies, if it goes right, it's great, but if you've got any problems, they're not the best company to help you, and it's better for you to look elsewhere. So for me, I'm giving them actually a 10 on the stinker front, because it really did mash up my the Friday night until we got there. And then after that, we went to Pizza Punks, had a lovely pizza and had a bit of a laugh, and just, it was all been brilliant after that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyway, we got to crack on, because we've got much more to talk about here. The key moment, I'm gonna go back to Ali, and I'm gonna ask for her key moment of the day.
The key moment was when Joe Linton slipped in the penalty area just as we were about to pull the trigger, because it was just, oh my God, he's gonna score, we're gonna lose 4-3. And then he fell over. And that for me was a key moment, because I think if he'd scored then, I think that was the game done. So that was a key moment for me.
Yeah. And Lainey?
I'd go for Tony scoring immediately, or almost immediately after them scoring. I think that showed that, you know, you're right, it went under Darlow. He probably could have scored it, but I'll give the credit to Tony for taking the shot. And the build-up play to that, it was a great build-up. I think it was Canos that chipped it over to him. It gave us confidence. We knew that we could score again, and it made it look like we might get a little bit of luck in front of goal, and we did. You know, the third goal took a big deflection as well. So, you know, for as brilliant as the crossover to Rico and the header to put us 2-1 up, I think it was just the fact that the ball went in the back of the net. We knew we could score goals, and it gave us that belief to go on and score more.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I did have the Joe Linton miss at the end as well, which I think is probably sort of quite obvious, and obviously it's going to be a key moment. But for me, actually, I think you've got to look a little bit further back into the game, and the Ivan Toney save off the line, that for me was absolutely key, because we're at the stage sometimes, but beforehand we thought, tell you something, we got the best, like one of the best defences in the division. So we weren't worried when people were attacking us, because we were snuffing it up. We were taking the ball. We were playing the ball out from the back. And I'll talk about this as well a little bit later, because our playing up the ball out from the back is not the same as it was weeks ago as well, because you can see the confidence is sapped out of the defence. The goalkeeper, he gets pressured, and then he punts the ball long, and it doesn't quite go where it's meant to. You know, you can see all that with the players and the confidence. But just coming back to that, you know, you could see the difference with us. But I think with Tony, and so what's happened is that every time the ball seems to come to us, there's a bit of a nervousness of thinking, oh my God, it'll come to the opposition, they're going to score. And if they had come down and attacked and then scored again, I think our heads could have gone down. So the fact that Tony saved it off the line, also Ivan Tony, you know, our striker, was on the line saving the ball. For me, that was a massive key moment. So, yeah, and I think it turned the game and gave us a little bit of a booster. Like, you know, but anyway, I'm going to talk to you, Lainey, about the positives and the negatives of that game. Tell me.
I've said already. I'll say it again. You know, the positives are that we're scoring goals again, and we got a point on the board. Which, you know, after losing 4 on the spin, we had to stop the rot. So stopping the rot is the positive. The negative is, I feel horrible saying this. I'm gonna go Fernandez in goal. He just doesn't look like he's got a clean sheet in him, and I just don't know. I hope it changes soon. You know, his distribution's getting a bit better, and I think, yeah, it's just like he doesn't control his box. I don't think, and you could pick his game apart if you were in a hypercritical mode, and I'm trying not to go too hard on him. He's conceded a shed load of goals already for Brentford, and it's not all his fault, because we have got a weakened defence in front of him, so he's kind of on a bit of a sticky wicket. But the negative is that we've got an incredible amount of games and some tough games in December, and unless he improves, we're going to have to score a lot of goals, not to lose a lot.
Ali?
Positives? Yeah, agree with Eleni, absolutely. Really important we didn't lose that game, and we didn't, to stop the rot. Tony's scoring for the first time since, I think, 25th of September, the Wolves game. So that's great. Hopefully that will help him kick on and score a few more. And yeah, just scoring goals. We looked really good going forward. I thought Canos looked great, and the two assists that he got were a definite positive for me.
And negatives?
Negatives. I like several people, I've sort of like been banging a drum for Godos to get a start after the last couple of substitute appearances he's had in the last couple of games. He's been brilliant when he's come on, but. And again, like Laney, I don't like to call one player out or anything, but I thought he was god-awful on Saturday. He got his start, and he just, I don't know, everything he seemed to touch just turned to, you know, the proverbial shit. So, that was really just really disappointing. And coming back to Fernandes as well, it does seem like every time there's a shot on target, it goes in the net at the moment. And I just think he does need to get a few, if he could just get a couple of big saves, I think you'd get a lot of confidence out of it.
Coming at the Fernandes thing, I mean, I know there's a thing between the goalkeeper and his defence as well, you know, but, you know, I'm just asking the question, is are we sort of pointing a finger too much at Fernandes, you know, as opposed to what's happening around him in the defence? Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not being funny. I know the third goal, I think he could have saved, or you could have said Raya could have saved. But do you think he's also suffering from the fact that, you know, I call it the Andy Sinton syndrome, you know what I'm saying? You know, Andy Sinton leaves and then Eddie May joins Brentford, and everyone expects Eddie May to be Andy Sinton. And he's like, he was probably quite a decent player, but because he wasn't Andy Sinton, he got absolute dog's abuse by, like, you know, all the Brentford fans, and he had to leave in the end. And I think, you know, is it Fernandes? It's the fact that, you know, he isn't Raya, and people are just expecting him to be like that. But at the end of the day, if the defence line will leave somebody to smack the ball, you know, in the back of the net, you know, from 16, 14 yards, what else is he meant to do?
No, I did say, you know, he had a weakened defence in front of him. But I just think he's not getting the basics right. You know, it's not even his distribution. I said that's improving. It's the control of his area. You know, the header for the first goal, that maybe that's not his fault, but it, you know, a big goalkeeper comes storming out there and gathers that. Yeah, I'm not going too hard on him, but I just think I'm not knocking him just because he's not Raya.
Ali?
I think there's a definite issue for me with communication between him and the defence. There just seems to be confusion a lot of the time in the box. I think Tony's clearance off the line came from Pontus practically taking Fernandes out when they both went for the ball. I think, to be fair to Fernandes, I think his distribution has improved since the first couple of games he played, and he took a couple of good catches. Just like I said, I think he needs a couple of big saves to give him confidence, and a lot of it will be a confidence thing.
Okay, so I suppose so. And for me, just quickly, positives and negatives, I think, you know, the goals is a positive. You talked about that, you know, and I think that, listen, the fact we're scoring goals, and all the away fans keep saying to us, look, playing like that, the fact that you cause us problems, and if you do that all season, even the defensive side, fair enough, because you seem to be different from other teams who have been coming down here and not causing problems. So you doing that, they said, you'll be R8, as they keep saying to me as well, up north, you know. The negatives, I think, is that we talked about Godos, you mentioned it, Ali, and I'll mention that as well, because, you know, his performance was disappointing. But you've got the Godos-Jensen conundrum, as you call it, in midfield. We're not quite sure what's going on there in midfield, what we should play. Jensen, you know, is it good Jensen, is it bad Jensen? You know, we've had a sort of not-so-great Jensen at times, and like, you always put him on the pitch to hopefully to see whether or not he can have a bit of creativity, you know. But then if it's a game where you're
going to be your backs up against the wall, then Jensen isn't necessarily the player that you're going to have, because he's like, he's not getting himself stuck in as you expect him to. But, you know, Thomas Frank seems to accept that because he's probably got no other option. So I think that is a bit of a conundrum that we've got. And you sort of put your question mark saying, are they waiting to see if Jensen, they know what he can do and he's going to get better? He's going to get better at some stage. They're going to make him grow into it. Because as Brentford like to, they'd rather players grow into it rather than bin them. And unless they're somebody like, you know, like Joel or something like that, where they'll bin them quite quickly, you know, but they obviously believe in him. So they're sticking with him, and also Godos, because they believe that at some stage they'll do that, which I've got a little bit respect for, but it's frustrating as a fan because we don't see what happens on the training room. So that's the conundrum there. And also, so the ups and the downs, because the fans very, very happy, which we all are, at one stage thought we were brilliant. And then now, you know, we're going, oh my God, we're going to get relegated. I mean, I had a message today from a fan basically saying, look, I can't see it. We're going to, you know, I could see us being relegated. And I'm just thinking, well, we're, you know, it's fine margins. You know, you change a couple of things in that defence and all of a sudden we become defensively stronger again, you know, and then all of a sudden, and scoring like we're doing or creating the chances, you know, we become a good side again. So I think as fans, we've got to be a little bit patient and then just see it out and also just enjoy the ride. So that's for me, just quickly. But we need to move on because we had a good old chat today as well. Listen, the away day, the fans, the away day, the day out. I'm going to come to you first, Lainey.
I thought it was brilliant. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I wish I'd gone for two nights now. I thought the Saturday, very early start. Dan went up with Dan Sue. He drove. Checked into a rather plush hotel and met in the fourth and had a thoroughly brilliant time with the Scottish Bees. Lovely to see them. And then Matt's come over from Sweden with his wife, so we had the Swedish Bees in the house. It was a really, really good pre-match in there, nice and early. I just thought the stadium was colossal. The atmosphere in there before and the build-up and the noise was great. The game itself was incredible, and the beers afterwards were good too. So all in all, and we got a point, winning would have been better, but a great, great away day. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
And about a 10?
9.
9 out of 10. Ali?
I can't really comment too much because I couldn't get in the pub on that side of it. And like I said, I had to come up and back in a day. So it was quite short. But to comment on that, I mean, the ground is, despite the fact that you're up in the Alps and suffering from vertigo, it's a great ground. It is a great view when you get out there. The atmosphere was fantastic. The atmosphere from the Newcastle fans, I thought they were really up for it. I thought we were really up for it. We made a lot of noise. We had a lot of fun, you know. Everybody was jumping all over each other, and you know, it was great to get a result. The win would have made it perfect, but yeah, I had a thoroughly good time despite spending 8 hours of one day on a train.
And marks out of 10.
I'm just going to go for 7 because I couldn't really judge on the pubs. Couldn't get in the pub.
Okay, 7 out of 10. And for me, I had a brilliant time, as you can say. Forget about the. I've already marked out my stinker as well. So by the time I got off the train, went back to the hotel, stayed on Quayside, on the other side of Quayside, and Gateshead as well, but just by the Millennium Bridge as well. I was there with my wife, I was there with my daughter, who obviously goes with me all the time, my daughter does. And I went with my son, who used to go to me when he was 3 years old, but he stopped going a few years ago. We all went out as a family, and you know, Friday night we went out, Pizza Punks, you know, which they loved. Great vibe as well. Then, you know, Saturday morning we got up, we did a little tour, did the whole walking tour. I put one little one together across the Millennium Bridge, the Baltic Centre, you know, went up to the castle, which I've never been to before. Been to Newcastle about sort of, I don't know, 5, 8, 9, 10 times, I think. Never been to Newcastle Castle, like, you know, so did all the castle, did the cathedral, you know, did honestly just did the whole tour and everything like that, which is really good. Lovely day as well, beautiful blue sunny day. And I met loads of bees as well by the Quayside as well, who came up and said hello. So thank you for coming up and saying hello and give us props for the podcast as well. That was lovely meeting you all, the bees there as well. And then after that, went to the fourth, great away drink beforehand in the fourth, which was recommended, like I said, by the Newcastle fans. Chat to Newcastle fans. We had Phil's Charles's brother there, Michael, who drank with us before the game as well. Like I said, the Scottish, the Swedish, all the characters, loads of bees fans in there as well. That was brilliant as well. The game, the stadium, brilliant. atmosphere brilliant, the Bees fans brilliant, you know. My daughter's a barometer because she's been saying to me, what's the best away here, she's always asking me, is it Preston? You keep talking about Middlesbrough, you know, you keep talking about all these other places. And I said to her, look, Newcastle is one. So she said, as soon as you put that in the diary, I want to go there. So I decided to take her, then my wife decided to come, and they all came away and they said to me, tell you something, this place is brilliant, isn't it? You know, so unfortunately for me, I would say that, actually not unfortunate, but it looks like it's going to be an expensive away day every year now for Newcastle, because they're always going to want to come, which is all good. But yeah, had a few other days, went to Tynemouth, you know, went to the castle down there, went by the sea down there, went to the Wyland Brewery, had something down the Wyland Brewery, even went to see, but he went to the cinema. Honestly, I had a fantastic few days away. So I can't give it any less than 10 out of 10. I would have given it 9.5 because we didn't get the win, but no, I had a great time as it was. We didn't lose. And the Geordies have been really fantastic, really good hosts, really lovely people. And that's the away days that I like. And also, for people who haven't been there, it's a place which has got so many pubs, and it's like having a ground right in the middle of Oxford Street. Like, that's what it is. And then you come out and there's about a million pubs, million restaurants, million shops, million places to go. You've got the river. You've just got everything there, which literally within 10 minutes walk of the stadium. It truly is an away day from heaven for anyone who loves their football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Which is all good. So I can't talk about it enough. So, but listen, we've got to move on quickly because we want to know how fair this result was. Quickly, Lainey, give us your fairness on this result.
Very fair, I'd say. I think both sets of supporters, they both have a valid argument to think their team could have won it. I think 3-3 was really good. Both teams created a lot of chances. Could have been more, and yeah, very fair. So if you're going to give me a percentage, yeah, I'll say kind of 92% fair.
92. Okay, you dropped it down a bit from 95 when we were chatting a bit earlier.
Okay, well, 95. 90, if I said 95 earlier, I'll stick to 95.
Ali?
I completely agree. I think it was a very fair result. I think neither team could be unduly disappointed with the fact that they got a draw. And I would even go higher than Lainey. I'd say 98% fair result.
98%. For sure. And I've gone a little bit lower than that. I've gone on the 80% tip just because I think that, yeah, just no, just because, listen.
Just because you've seen the answer.
No, I've not. Again, yeah, I don't do that, yeah, as well. No, I've gone below that. And the reason why I went below that is because, to be honest, if you're looking beforehand, is that they did create a number of decent chances. We took all our chances as well, you know, and this is where the fairness comes in. We took our chances, are very, very good, whereas they didn't take all their chances. So I think, if anything, the Newcastle fans will feel gutted, even though we did go ahead twice. So I think from us, because we went ahead twice and then went behind, we think, okay, that's fair enough. But they created a number of, a lot of better chances than us. And actually, looking at the XG, they got 2.63 to our 1.19. So I think there's an argument to think that they think, you know, if they could have beaten us 3-1, they should have done, but they didn't because they didn't take their chances. And looking at the actual fairness, and it was actually 74%, actually, which is a very besotted number as well. So 74% was the fairness on that. So I think they're thinking it was a little bit Newcastle, probably a little bit gutted they didn't get the result. And that's why I think a lot of the Newcastle fans were probably a little bit gutted that the result didn't quite go their way. So quickly, let's do a league recap. You know, where we are in the league at the moment now. And like I said to you, I've literally just come off the train here, so I'm just pulling this up together very quickly. 14th. Redford in 14th place, 14th. Played 12 games with 13 points. We're just above Aston Villa, 13 points as well, just above Watford in 16th place as well, 13 points. Leeds United in 17th place with 11 points. And then 18th in Burnley with 9 points in the first relegation spot as well. And Newcastle still bottom with 6 points. So, you know, and just above us, Southampton in 14 points, Leicester in 15 points, Everton in 15 points. And we're playing Everton next week, so it's quite interesting. Looking at that as well, you know, what I'd say to you is that looking at, you know, from an XG level, 19 is our expected goals for and 16.7 against. So looking at the teams below us, we're actually creating much more chances than the teams below us. It's the teams and even the teams above us, Southampton, Leicester, even Everton, Crystal Palace, you know, Brighton. We're about the fourth or fifth best team in creating chances. Where it's a bit worrying at the moment for us now is our expected goals against. We're actually basic teams are creating quite a lot of chances against us at the moment now. And this is something that we need to stave off. And that's what I'm saying. If we can sort the defence out, you know, which obviously we know it's temporary at the moment now, but Asia coming back, you know, if we're going to buy a player in January, this can actually change things up for us. Quickly, Lainey, a match for you, which you think affected things, or you just had your eye open on that one?
The Norwich game, I mean, obviously, I thought I had one eye on Dean Smith's first game at Norwich City. Obviously, they'd beaten us last time out, and they made it two wins on the bounce, which, you know, it's exactly what they needed at Carrow Road. And really that we didn't, and not many of the results that of those teams around us, the teams that we want to lose all the time, they all got points. Watford won, Burnley got a 3-3 draw, and luckily Leeds didn't win. But yeah, it's the results around us weren't great with us. We need a win next week.
Ellie?
Yeah, I agree. The results around us weren't great. Teams below us all seem to be winning. I think apart from the obvious one, which is Watford, Man United, the one that I noticed, I watched, was the Spurs-Leeds game. Spurs having not had a shot on target for about 6 billion minutes, and still didn't have one in the first half, and then came out and turned it around and managed to score two goals and win 2-1. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for us with Spurs coming up in a week or so. But yeah, Leeds losing is probably a slightly better result for us. But yeah, I agree. The next two matches, Everton and Leeds, are pretty big games now.
And just looking for us, I mean, it's funny because we were looking up before, but now we're looking down a bit again, and we're looking at the teams below us. And Watford beating Man United, I think, is obviously the eye opener that's got rid of, because there's two reasons. Obviously, Watford getting 3 points, which means that they're creeping up on us, but also Man United in there as well, who obviously the manager got sacked, Ollie's got sacked, and we're playing them in a few weeks' time. So it's one of those ones where we're going to be up against a new manager yet again, and they're going to give us the boost like they obviously did to Newcastle. If you listen to the post match podcast, PrideOfWest.London, listen to the Newcastle fans on there. There's loads of them on there. It's really worth listening to. It's a really good podcast. And they say to me, basically, we are a different team now than we were 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I'm worried about that, about Man United. But interesting. But listen, just give us quickly a summing up, Laney.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to those Newcastle United fans in the post-match. I thought they were a very intelligent, very honest and very rounded set of supporters. The rounding up is I had a great day out. I'm glad we got a point. It's a bigger point than just the one. We have to follow it up now with a win against Everton, and that's not going to be easy, but they're not in great form. We have to carry on creating those chances and we'll be all right. It's going to be nervy, but you know, the XG, people knock it, but that is the barometer. That shows that we are, despite having a wobbly back at the moment, we've got a rock solid front. And I thought Brian and Mbeumo was great as well on Saturday. So there are signs of concern, but there's also signs of reassurance. We have to follow it up, though, on Sunday with a positive result against Everton.
Ellie?
I think it was, again, sorry to repeat it, but it is the obvious thing. It was a really important point. I think confidence-wise, it was an important point. It was great to score three goals. I really do think that Tony getting that goal was huge. I think he'll probably now go on a run. Every striker who goes on a barren spell will deny that it gets in their head, but we all know it does to some extent. So I think he might go on a run and score. And if we can just sort out our defence, be a bit more solid at the back, I think we'll be all right. You know, we've got players starting to come back now. It's good to see Shandon coming back. Hopefully Aya's going to be back soon. If we could get through Christmas, there's the hope that Josh is going to be back as well. So, you know, if we can just hang in there, be a little bit more solid at the back, keep creating the chances, bang in a few of them, win a couple of matches between now and Christmas, I think we'll be all right.
And for me, it's the fact we've stopped the rot, which is good. We've stopped the rot as well. We're still scoring goals. You know, we've showed that we can score goals. Okay, the defence is what it is. But this, for me, is the summing up as where is that. And we've still got time to sort it out. We've also got time in January as well to sort it out. So for me, I'm a little bit less nervous than others as well. The interesting thing is, though, you know, from a statistical point of view, like I said to you, check out the PrideOfWest.London podcast Thursday. The spreadsheet Winker will be giving us all sorts of stats. But looking at 538 as it is, and at the moment now, they've got us predicted, you know, because they do the whole formula prediction thing, now in fifth 15th place, finishing in 15th place at the end of the season with 44 points, okay, which is down probably about two or three places on about a month ago. So we're sort of slipping down. We've got Leeds United below us on 42 points, Watford below that on 38 points, and Burnley, Newcastle, Norwich in the bottom 3 points, and Burnley on 38 points, us on 44. So it's getting a little bit tight, you know, on that front. So, you know, they've got us on 18%, I think it is, 16% chance of a relegation at the moment now. With at the moment now, Burnley on 35%, Newcastle on 62%, and Norwich on 75%. So you could see kind of where their predictions is. But all I'm saying is that we're sort of slipping the wrong way. And I would like to, for my summary, to say I would like to see us slipping back up again, like, you know what I'm saying? So fingers up, and hopefully in the next few weeks, we can actually see us slip right up in the league there as well. So listen, this has been great to get this off my chest. This is the Besotted Pride of West London Weekend Review, brought to you by Anything Is Possible, our friends from the South Coast, or wicked little agency. You should definitely check them out, aipmedia.com. Anyway, like I said to you, don't forget to subscribe to us on all good podcast channels. And don't forget also to support to us, because besotted.com/beer, like, you know, so if you like what we're doing, and like I said to you, all the people have come up to us and said they love what we're doing, and they've just shaken a hand, and people that have never met before, it's been so wonderful just meeting people, just coming up to you out of the blue and just saying, listen, we listen to the podcast and we just think it's really great, and just keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for just listening, because like I said, we don't know you guys are there, because we're just in front of our microphones chatting away to each other. So thank you for that as well. And also, yeah, like I said to you, don't forget to listen. Thursday's podcast will be there for the Everton match as well. We're going to have an Everton fan on there, as we do every time. So check that out, prideofwest.london. But like I said to you, my name is Billy Grant, and I've had a great weekend, so I'm feeling very, very happy. And I've got Lainey in the house.
Good night.
And we've got Ali in the house.
Farewell.
And like I said, I'm Billy Grant. Anything is possible, as I say. And if anything is possible, we might actually get some 3 points against Everton on Saturday, as
yay,
we say.
Yeah, come on,
Sunday.
Come on, you bees.
Come on, you bees. Westford FC, come on. Come on, you Brentford. Come on. Come on, you bees. Come on. Come on, you Brentford. Come on. Come on,
you bees. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.